Hello and welcome to Reasonably Fit. We're Jason and Lauren Pack, and this is the podcast for anyone who wants a more thoughtful and grounded approach to health and fitness.
If you'd like to support our show, we have a couple discount codes you can use on some of our personal favorite products. The first is our favorite workout footwear, Vivo Barefoot. Vivos are the best of the best when it comes to minimal footwear, and the Primus Lights are the shoes you see us wearing in all of our Instagram content. You can save 10% off your entire purchase with the code PAK10. That's PAK10. Just go to www.vivobarefoot.com or click the link in our show notes to get a pair today. The second is for our favorite supplement brand, Legion. We've tried so many different supplement brands over the years, and right now nothing beats Legion. Our current go-tos are the whey protein powder, pulse pre-workout, creatine, and immune support, because if you listen to this show, you know our kids are constantly bringing home new viruses from school. We almost always turn down partnership deals because we only ever want to work with brands that we use and love ourselves, and we actually reached out to Legion to partner because we love it so much. You can use code PAK20, that's PAK20, for 20% off your first order and then double loyalty points for subsequent orders, which is the equivalent of 10% cash back. Just go to www.legionathletics.com or click the link in our show notes. Using our codes really helps to support our show, and it saves you money at the same time, so we think it's a win-win. Okay, with that said, let's get into today's episode.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Reasonably Fit. Is that what I start with?
No.
What am I supposed to say?
Usually you go, hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Reasonably Fit.
Well, we've done 2 weeks in a row of interviews, so we haven't done a solo one in a while.
Rusty, for sure. The opening.
Yeah.
So we've had some exciting updates in our business.
Yeah, so many actually.
We have been on the lookout for a customer support specialist for the Rise program. Lauren, so far, I mean, ever since we closed down the gym, Lauren and I have been the only employees of our business. And so we've been kind of doing everything from answering all the emails, to answering all the questions in the app, to the Facebook group, to obviously the social media content and the podcast and all that. But basically, any involvement with our business, everyone has been directly communicating with Lauren or myself.
Yeah.
And now we're at this point where we needed help. It was getting to that point, and Lauren was like, I just spent the last like 5 hours answering questions, answering emails and stuff like that. And I think I need some assistance.
I hit an actual breaking point. And it's so funny because when there was a certain number that we had in mind for when we might, for Rise members, that mm-hmm. when we might need assistance. And we talked about it like early on. We're like, when we get to this number, that's when we're going to need probably someone to come on as an admin. We're now 3 times the number that we had originally said we needed help. And I feel like I kept being like, no, it's still manageable. It's still manageable.
Fine.
And I mean, in the last month or so, I've just been like, okay, now it's not even to the point where, and I still love to do it. I think that's part of why I hesitated to like say, okay, yeah, I really need help, because I like interacting with everyone. I really like when people are like, whoa, we weren't expecting a response from you. But it's actually limiting my ability to contribute to our growth at this point, because I'm answering questions that really truly can be answered by someone else who's, you know, still a proponent of everything that we believe in and a part of our team. And so it is officially past time that we bring someone on.
I mean, we talked about launching our mobility program mm-hmm. and we were aiming for it to launch sometime in April, and then it got pushed back to May, Memorial Day weekend, mid-June. Now we're looking at the end of June, and a lot of it is because we just need some extra assistance in kind of handling a lot of these different buckets. And so once we do have a little bit of a team around us, I think we can then, you know, further move forward and grow.
Now, what happened was we were like, okay, it's time. Let's do this. We're going to hire someone. So we had actually talked to a couple people that we thought were maybe going to join and ended up not working out. And so we're like, we hesitated at first, but we're like, let's just put it out on Instagram and just say we're hiring and see what happens. Like, we'll have a Google form for people to fill out as like an initial application, and then we'll go through those applications and set up interviews. And we definitely were anticipating like 25 to 30. I think that's basically what we thought. Like 25 to 30 people might be interested.
And that would be a lot.
Yeah. I mean, any other job that we've ever posted about for the gym, and this was, I mean, many years ago and before we had as big of a social media platform, we usually got like four or five applicants. And those were for like full-time roles. Like this is a part-time role. Anyway, we got 700
plus
applications. Actually, it was 701. It was literally 700.
Well, so that's, 700 plus.
Fine. But 700 applicants.
You made the post and you put it up online and then you like refreshed the link and you had 30 within like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And we're like, how are people even seeing this? And you would just keep updating me like, it's up to like 50 now. It's up to 100. And then you're like, I need someone to help me just to go through these.
An admin to, or like I need an assistant to hire an assistant, basically. It's wild. Yeah. And so seriously, like blown away by the amount of interest in just like being a part of what we're doing. And I think that was the coolest thing was that it wasn't necessarily like, I mean, a lot of people actually love doing the type of position like customer support, and I do too. So I get being drawn to that position in general, but the amount of people who are so specifically wanting to work with us because of the approach that we're taking to fitness and because of the reasonable approach. I mean, so many people who listen to the podcast. So if you're listening and you applied, like we read your application. I read through every single one of them.
Every single one.
And yeah, like really was so heartwarming and affirming in that we're doing something that is greater than ourselves and really impacting a lot of people in a positive way. So that was just an amazing like moment to really realize that this is something special.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I probably could have skimmed through them and kind of like highlighted some of the applicants, but Lauren went through each and every one, read every single word. She is a very slow reader and she was cross-referencing with the resumes and the availability. She was going through every single thing. And so for the last, I think like 7 days, you've been like bunkering down, just making sure that we are hiring, you know, the perfect fit for this particular role. And yeah, so now we are on to sort of the second round of interviewees, I guess. Yeah. And then after this round, after we sift through these, then we'll go into the third and final round and then we'll hire one or two people, I guess.
Yeah, we're still trying to even figure out some of the details because basically we want to hire like 50 people based on the applicants.
There were so many good ones.
So many good candidates. And honestly, it was really heartbreaking. Like it was heartwarming to like have the experience, but also heartbreaking to like say no to people who were excited and who wanted to be a part of it because I just am really not good at saying no or like I don't want to make people feel bad or think that it was something about them. It was truly like we need one or two out of 700. And so it had to be just everything, all the stars had to align, basically.
Exactly, yeah.
And so, yeah.
But now we have, you know, a lot of people in sort of like a list where if we need more, if more positions open up, we can easily contact people. So,
yeah,
but this is a big deal for us. I mean, this is going to be our first series of hires ever since we transitioned from the gym to our online business. And we were just kind of reflecting the other day, like, oh, wow, like it wasn't that long ago where we had a full-fledged gym that we've operated for nearly 10 years. And then we just moved out of state. We closed down the gym. We opened this new online venture. It was a little bit risky or a lot of it risky. And, you know, it's all kind of paying off now. And yeah, we're very fortunate and grateful that this is all happening.
For sure.
And little sneak peek for the pod listeners, we are going to be on the lookout for a video editor position, actually. And this person is going to be key for us because we need them to help us edit our social media content, help us launch our YouTube videos, which have taken a significant backseat to a lot of the other projects that we have going on. But we want to start getting back up on YouTube again. So if you are a video editor out there that is listening to this, then just keep your eyes open, ears peeled. Is that what it's called? Eyes peeled?
I think it's ears eyes open. Ears available.
Mouth drilling for a video editor position within our company.
You were like, So I'm so happy for you that you're getting so many applications. Basically, like, the person who's going to be doing this customer support role is kind of taking work off of my plate specifically. And you're like, I'm so happy that you're getting all these applications. I don't think I'm going to get 700 video editors. Yeah.
A little more niche.
It might be a little bit trickier for your set of skills is a little bit more specific, but who knows?
Yeah.
And then you mentioned this, but the mobility program is coming. So people have actually brought it up who heard about it when we talked about it on the podcast. So yeah. Didn't you talk about like 5 weeks ago that you're doing some sort of mobility program? It is coming. It is coming soon. We're really nailing
it
down.
We're thinking the end of June, but all the videos, we shot 142 videos, 100 something videos?
Whatever, 7 times 3 times 6.
Yeah, that's 140, something like that. I don't know. Not good at fast math. But anyway, we shot that many videos, and then we actually shot 42 follow-along sessions. It's going to be a big, big project, but we've shot, filmed, edited, captioned all of them in 4K. So we're really excited about that. And now we're sort of in the process of creating a little website and just hashing out some more details behind the program, writing some actual words behind the program, the text.
Words.
And yeah, we're very we're very proud of this one. So we're excited.
This feels really good.
We've created lots of products in the past, and everything we've learned from previous products, we're putting it all together so that it basically covers anything and everything that you could possibly want within a mobility program.
Yeah. So excited. I can't wait.
Okay. So end of June, hopefully.
End of June. Hold us to it.
But if we don't hire anyone in this round, things don't work out, then it'll never come out.
No, it's going to happen. Okay. I think that's all the housekeeping.
Yeah.
We got to get into the interview. See, I'm so in the interview mindset, but we got to get into the episode, and we are doing a Q&A. We haven't even previewed these questions yet. We are going to go off the cuff.
Oh, wait. We could call this Quancers.
Oh my gosh.
Questions and answers.
Why?
Quancers.
Quancers. Why? Why can't it just be Q&A? Quancers.
Let's see what people say.
Quancers is actually kind of my favorite so far.
Quancers. All right.
But it sounds like it's a question and answers. Can it be called a Quancer?
Quancer. All right. Welcome back to Quancer.
No. It doesn't work.
The Quancer. The Quancer, brought to you by Reasonably Fit. Okay. All right. What's the first question?
Okay. So these are going to be, like I was saying, these are going to be a little bit more off the cuff. We are going through, we put up a stories box on Instagram a couple days ago, and
I don't even know what these are.
That's why I said they're going to be off the cuff.
Yeah, off the cuff. Okay. Let's do it. Okay. All right. Number one, off the cuff.
Oh, we get this question asked all the time. How do you wind down for bed after an evening workout? What pre and post workout snacks do you have? So wow. We get this constantly anytime we post about late night workouts, which we've talked about. That's like kind of something that we have adapted as a way to stay consistent for ourselves. We work out after we put our kids to bed, but that does end up being around 7:30, 8 p.m., meaning we don't eat dinner until about 9 p.m., meaning we don't go to bed until a little bit later. So people are always very confused about like, how do we make this work? So the first thing, the pre-workout snack is something pretty specific, I feel like, to both of us. Jason always has a bowl of cereal, basically.
Yeah,
it
has some sort of sugary cereal. I feel like it's been helpful to have kids so I can just go down the cereal aisle and get my like my Cocoa Puffs or my Fruity Pebbles or my Captain Crunch. There's all sorts of ones that I'm like, I felt funny getting them as a adult before, but now with the kid, I'm like, oh, just, we're a family. We're getting a family size pack.
Meanwhile, the kids don't eat that cereal. It's just you. I actually mostly just have, I mostly sample whatever the kids are eating for dinner. Mm. There's two reasons for that for me. One is because all of the kid eating blogs or whatever talk about how if your kids see you eating the foods that you're putting in front of them, they're going to be more likely to try it. So especially with like the vegetables and things that might not be as appealing to them, I want to show them that we're also eating it too. So I usually just make myself like a small version of whatever they're eating. And that's like my pre-workout snack. It's like a mini dinner.
Yep. And then from there, I typically have pre-workout. You kind of like Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, depending on whether or not you need a boost.
I don't at night because I, even though it's non-stim, mm-hmm. I had one bad experience.
Yeah, you kind of overdosed a little bit.
I had one small overdose of pre-workout and I didn't sleep until like 3 a.m. And it was really bad. And I was like pacing around the bedroom. I was like, what's happening? I actually felt like I was on drugs. So not that I even have ever done drugs. So I don't even know what that feels like. But anyway, I typically don't take it at night just because I'm like worried about it causing sleep issues, but it doesn't seem to for you at all.
Yeah. So I take Pulse from Legion and I get the non-stimulant version, which is basically the non-caffeinated version. But I love it just to have like a little bit of a boost because by the end of the day, I mean, first of all, we've probably woken up pretty early, you know, dropped them off at school, did all of our hours of work, and then we're, you know, the whole bedtime routine is just like, just fast and furious. We got to do like baths. We got to do dinner. We got to do a little playtime. We got to do reading books. Like there's so much going on. And by the time it gets to around 7, 7:30, we're like, oof, like that was a lot.
It would be so easy to go sit on the couch. Yeah.
So I take a second to go sit at the coffee table, eat my bowl of cereal, have my pre-workout. And then it kind of gets me back amped up again. But if I sat on the couch, it would be over for sure. I would probably fall asleep, honestly.
Yeah, no, it is true. It needs to be like, we can't basically take a break from the day yet or else we will just decide not to do it. So it's like that. I think that for you, that pre-workout is like both a routine, like consistency in your routine, and obviously something that helps boost the workout as well.
Yeah, exactly. And then after the workout, we actually have dinner.
Yeah.
And that's usually, let's say it is around 9-ish, usually somewhere around there. And hopefully we have already something made and we can just pop it in the microwave real quick. Otherwise, we'll make something really quickly like ground beef or salmon or something that we just pop in the oven or on the frying pan. And yeah, we eat that. We typically watch some terribly trashy show like Love is Blind. And that's basically about it.
Yeah, we basically eat and decompress at the same time. So we eat on the couch and we watch one show and we like limit ourselves to one episode of whatever show it's going to be. And then we go upstairs and get ready for bed. And like,
yeah, usually that's about 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I do some dishes and then it's bedtime after that. And it's probably because we are pretty tired by that point where we're like, okay, like I'm definitely, but I think it just like with anything, like if you want to be a morning routine person, like you kind of have to like do it for a few weeks before you start to like get into that habit. So I think initially those first few times where like you're in bed and you feel like you're still a little bit wired at 10:30 after doing a workout and getting a little pre-workout in, like I think it's going to take a few exposures to get used to that feeling. So I think if you have tried it once and you're like, oh, this is not for me, like maybe give it a few more shots and see. If, especially if it fits into your schedule better than morning or afternoon workouts, I think it's definitely worth giving it a shot for at least, you know, a week or so.
Yeah. And you can play around with like, okay, for some people, like maybe you don't have kids and so you don't have the time constraints as specifically with like what time they go to bed. You could try to do dinner before the workout. And but then that also, some people don't like to have food right before a workout. So it just really is like making it not fit somebody else's, like not trying to completely emulate or copy what someone else is doing, but like trying to adapt it to your specific lifestyle and the and your preferences. And so like even just, I do like to have pre-workout before my workout. So when we do a daytime workout, I love having that extra boost, but I know for myself, like it's probably not the right move to do it at night, whereas it works for you. And like, I'm not feeling pressured to do it because you're doing it, because I know it's not necessarily what works for me. So it really is just like looking at what is something that you want to accomplish? And then how is that something that you can, or how can you then also make sure that you're making it work for your particular situation, personality, preferences, and all of that?
Yeah, there's so much talk about optimal out there, like optimal time, ideal time, like all this sort of stuff. And it's really just figuring out what is the most optimal time period for you, because that is going to be the most sustainable, the most enjoyable, and the most, or the least stressed situation for you, and that is going to be optimal, and that is case dependent depending on your exact situation.
Yes. All right, moving on to the next question. Are there benefits to classes like Barry's Bootcamp? This is definitely something that we, I think, have evolved on in our opinion and in the way that we speak about it, because for a long time when we were so focused on strength and conditioning and writing the perfect program and following the perfect plan, we would have kind of, we never spoke negatively about classes or things like that, but we definitely would have been like, there's not a lot of benefit. You should really do X, Y, or Z. You should really strength train 3 to 4 days a week. And on top of that, you can add this and you can add that. And classes don't really have a great fit because they're too intense and they go too lightweight with too high rep, and kind of like focus on the negatives of classes like that. But having just worked with more people, being exposed to people who have gotten such amazing benefits out of that type of group class setting, whether it's the community or the energy or the mental health component, it's really evolved our way of speaking about it, because I think that it's not so, you can't be so clinical about what is the best workout or how is this beneficial, is this not, because there's just so much more to it than is it a perfect workout.
Yeah, and these classes, like, we can't discount the fact that I feel like they've just unlocked so many like entry points into fitness that has never really been as accessible unless you take like a group exercise class at a commercial gym, like a Boston Sports Club or something like that. And with the explosion of Peloton, F45, Barry's, like all these sorts of places, I feel like so many more people are just working out because there's so many different options. Like before, the only really thing you could do was go to the gym, lift weights and strength train. And if that wasn't your cup of tea, then you're like, well, fitness isn't for me.
Or I'll just do cardio.
Yeah, like, yeah. Or I'll just jump on the cardio machine. Yeah. But now people can spin, do boot camps, do circuit training, do whatever. And they have the instructor right there telling them what to do, giving them form corrections and all that. And it's just such a lower barrier of entry to enter into that whole fitness space. And I see so many people now formulating friend groups, like joining communities of from all these places, and they feel like a part of something and they feel really fit. And it's just like, who's to say that just because such and such exercise program might not be the greatest for progressive overload that it doesn't work? It obviously works for this person. You know, they're working out multiple times per week, being active, feeling strong, part of a social support group, like all that feeds into an overall healthy and fit and lifestyle. And we think that is awesome.
Yeah. So I think that for when you're evaluating, like, is a workout good? Is a workout beneficial? You really have to ask yourself first, what are you looking for out of it? And how is it making you feel? I feel like those are the main things. Is like, if you're looking to, if your main goal is to build strength, a Barry's class might not be the best way to do that, because you're going to be doing a combination of cardio and light weights and you're going back and forth. Your heart rate is through the roof. You're sweating. You're huffing and puffing. It's not conducive necessarily to building strength over time, because you can't really build strength when you're like completely depleted. So you have to just ask yourself. But if you're on the flip side, if your goal is, I just want to move, I don't want to think, I don't love lifting heavy, I actually really enjoy running, I really enjoy the experience of being in a group setting, and I just want to sweat, like, Barry's is a great option for you. Yeah. So it's really evaluating, what are you looking to get out of this workout? And as a whole, like, how does it, when you go and do it, how does it make you feel?
Yeah, the experience part is actually a big component of it. Like, you go to these places and they are, it's like a club for some of these places, like the lighting, the music, the instructor, like everyone is, it's like a while you're lifting. And it's like, it's just a cool experience to be part of. And like, if that's what motivates you to get working out, like, yeah, again, it's a great fit then.
Yeah. And some people are really looking for that as like the primary focus of their fitness journey, whereas other people are looking for something that feels a little bit more sustainable, that makes them feel strong at the end, like that they don't want to feel like beat down by their workout every single time. And so it just, yeah, I feel like I'm just repeating myself, but basically it's just a matter of evaluating what your goals are. And if you feel good and you're enjoying the results, then move forward.
Yeah, it is good.
All right. Curveball. Not fitness related, but very important.
All right.
Favorite Korean food.
Ooh. Favorite Korean food. Let's see. It depends on the mood I'm in. Depends how hungry I am. There's all sorts of different factors to this, but I would say if I'm in the mood for barbecue, I just love kalbi, which is Korean short rib, marinated short rib. Just love that. And if I'm in, I don't know, like if I want something like heavier, like it's cold outside, I usually like a stew. Mm. And there are all sorts of stews that I really like. There's one called yukgaejang. There's another called kalbitang. But these are all just like stews with meat simmered in them. Some of them are spicy, some of them are not. And they're just very delicious. Yeah.
I love duck mandukguk.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
which is like specific. It's usually for New Year's.
Yeah.
But I get it all year round when I can because I love that soup specifically.
It's like a soup that is like just has a lot of substance in it. It doesn't feel like just a liquid. It just feels like a little bit more substantive.
I mean, it has whole dumplings broth in it. Yeah. It's like dumplings, so good.
Rice cake.
The broth is so good.
Seaweed, egg. Yeah, it's very good. Very flavorful for sure.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. And then honestly, any of the barbecue at your parents' restaurant.
Yeah.
So shout out Cast Iron Pot, which is the restaurants that Jason's family owns and operates.
The best, the best.
Truly the best. If you're in the New York, New Jersey area, you must go check them out.
Bulgogi, spicy pork bulgogi. Yeah.
It's also good.
Yeah. And we actually have cooked a lot of these meals, actually.
Yeah. We have a little tradition of doing a Korean meal on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the soups.
Yeah. It's like a big to-do because we go to H Mart the like weekend before, we get all of our ingredients and they've come out really good so far.
I've been really proud of us. Japchae was really good. Yeah. The Japchae that we made.
Duck mandukguk was really good.
Yeah.
So, and we use the recipes from, what's that website?
Oh my gosh.
It's like a Manchi.
Manchi.
Yeah. It is, as long as you Google like Korean recipes, like she will pop up immediately. Her YouTube channel pops up immediately. Like extremely good.
I will say also, how do you pronounce it? His name is Calvin.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But it's like cook like I'm book.
Cook like I'm book. I think that's what it is. I don't think it like in book is his name or anything.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Yeah. But anyway, cook like, if you just type in cook like I'm book on TikTok or on Instagram, he posts a lot of Korean recipes. He does all types of recipes, but he does it with like a healthy spin on it.
Yeah, they're very approachable. Like, it looks like, oh, I can do that for sure.
I save so many of them and admittedly haven't actually cooked any of them, but at least it's...
This Christmas Eve, we'll do it.
Yeah.
We'll take one of his recipes.
All right, cool. Moving on. All right, this one is interesting. New to Rise, do you do the same program? You both look so muscular, toned, and flexible. So I would normally not even answer this one or address it because I really don't like the idea that somebody is thinking that the workouts that I do or the workouts that you do are the only reason that we look the way we do, that I look the way that I do or that you look the way you do.
Yeah, or that you should get a program because the person who put them together is...
looks a certain way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually had a really interesting interaction a couple of weeks ago that made me sort of feel like, okay, maybe this is something that is worth just kind of like hashing out. So I haven't like fully formulated even my thoughts on this, but I'm in a moms of a certain town that we used to live in group, and I'm in like all the different groups because
Facebook group.
Yeah. You know, and I like see the posts. I barely ever interact, especially because we don't even live in that area anymore. But one of them is like moms of that town, fitness at every size. So basically talking about like a way to talk about health and fitness, but not that's very size inclusive and that's not focusing on weight loss or anything like that. And some of our old Achieve members tag us sometimes and stuff, or will mention us as like a resource. And I never post in there because I'm like, I don't want it to seem like I'm like pitching my services. Like that just feels really weird. But one of our past members posted about somebody was asking for a strength program that doesn't focus on weight loss. And so she was like, this is your program. Like these, like Jason and Lauren are really size inclusive. And like, that's how they always operate at their gym. And the person, the original poster, responded and said, they seem great, but if they're size inclusive, why would they use this imaging on their website? And it was a picture of me. And she like put the picture of me on. I felt so weird. I was like, I feel like I shouldn't be seeing this. Like, I feel like I'm spying on this like conversation about me. But it made me feel really like, I don't even know how to say it. Not bad, but like bummed that that was sort of the response to just like a picture of me doing an exercise, right? And that like by me looking a certain way or being a certain size, that it makes me not size inclusive as by default.
Mm.
And I think I'm getting really far away from the question, this Q&A question, but I think it's just like that and this question kind of sparked this feeling in me that like, I never want to be the reason that somebody feels like not good in their skin, or like they're doing what I'm doing. Why don't they look like me? Or because I used to do that all the time with other people. And it's a not a positive place to be, like a positive mindset to be in. I'm just going to gather myself for a second. So I feel in this very funny position where I'm very much comfortable in my skin now, not because of the way I look, but because I have become comfortable with not worrying so much about the way I look. Like it's a comfort in my skin that is detached from like what other people think of me or what I feel like I'm supposed to look like. And I've fallen into sort of just routines and ways of living that work for me that I'm not forcing myself to do anything to make myself look a certain way. And so I feel so comfortable in that. And my focus is finally not on my appearance as much as how I feel and how I perform on the football field and how I can play with the kids and all these things that just matter to me more. But I've been in a place where what I look like matters to me and like in a really dark way. And what I just would never want is for anyone to ever see me and think like, I should try to do what she does. I mean, this is the reason that we don't do what I eat in the day. Like that was one of our first episodes of this podcast was like why we don't do things like that, because there is just more to the story than I do this workout or I eat this, this meal and these amount of calories. Like there's just so much more to the story.
So yeah, we do follow Rise.
As a the longest winded way of answering
TLDR. Yeah, we do follow Rise.
We do follow Rise, and we wouldn't feel good about our program if we didn't feel like it worked for us too, right?
And yeah. So actually the funny thing is, so how I write Rise is I have just like a little like in the corner of an Excel spreadsheet, I have some like ground rules that I write for myself to follow for the program. And then even above that, there's one line that says, do what you would actually want to do. Because there was a point in time early on in the writing the Rise program, like sort of a progression, that I was trying to do things that I thought other people would want or might work well better from an online standpoint. But then I was like, you know what? This is kind of getting away from what I think is a good program. And yeah. Instead of like forcing myself to create this optimal program, like for this hypothetical person and whatnot, I was like, let me do what I actually want to do. And I'm pretty good at writing things that I know that I should work on, like things like shoulder health or Bulgarian split squats, like things that I know are beneficial. Like I will put that in even if I don't want to do it. And so I feel like I have a good barometer for what is fun in a program, what people need in a program and all that sort of stuff. So all this to say, like, yes, we follow Rise, and a large part of it is because I programmed the way I want to be programmed for.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I always think it's really strange, actually, if somebody writes programs for like the general public, but like is above it or like does something totally different for themselves. It feels a little bit weird. So yeah, we follow Rise. Our bodies are both are and aren't a reflection of following Rise. I guess that's what I wanted to say is like part of why we have visible muscles is because we follow Rise and we strength train and we do all these things like that. I can't deny that the way that we train doesn't have any effect on how we look. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you and me and my mom can all follow Rise and we're all going to have different bodies and we're all going to look different. And I think that's what I'm trying to get at. And what I am trying to get also away from is the idea that just because somebody else looks a certain way following a program doesn't mean that you are going to look that way or that you should look that way and that one body is better than the other because it looks a certain way. It is just to say that strength training and following Rise has been a part of why we maybe look the way we do, but it is not the whole story. And I think that's important.
Yeah. And it's one of the reasons why we don't promote Rise in a way that you might see in other, you know, social media avenues and whatnot, because yeah, we don't want to put it out that like, oh, do this and then you can look like this. And so I think for any program out there, it's really important to understand that the you're not going to just start to look like the creator of the program. And I think what you want to look for in a program is, do they follow general principles like progressive overload? Is the program going to be sustainable? Is it going to be enjoyable? Does it follow just timeless principles? And that's going to comprise a good program. And you know, if you follow it, then whatever happens within your body will happen regardless of what the creator of the program looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. So honestly, I'll be interested to hear how that even comes out in the edit, because I don't really know if I had one cohesive thought, but it was kind of a little bit of a word vomit of things that I have been keeping in my head that I felt like, you know, sometimes on the podcast, it can be scary to be vulnerable because you, I don't know, it's a longer form way of expressing your feelings, whereas Instagram can be, we can have a little bit more time to script everything out perfectly. And, you know, like this is an avenue where things don't come out perfectly all the time. And so I sometimes hesitate to address things like this. But I think I want to challenge myself to do it more just to be a little bit more vulnerable and real.
Yeah. And just talk about these things in a little bit more of a nuanced way, like in the gray kind of way, because yeah, there isn't like a blanket answer here either way. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's make it lighter.
Okay.
Oh, someone said, I just want to smile like Jason one day. That's so nice.
I'm happy to say that I think both of our kids have my smile.
They do. Yeah. It's so great. And whenever I see them, like whenever I see the three of you together, I'm like, oh my gosh, carbon copies. Although Kendrick's dentist did say that he has more teeth. What did she say? He's probably going to need braces because he has like bigger and more teeth with a smaller mouth. And I was like, oh, great. He got Jason's smile in my size mouth, which is not going to go well. So I'm a little worried about that. But anyway, your smile is contagious and it's very nice.
Oh, someone said your wife is hot.
I wasn't going to read that one.
My smile is contagious and my wife is hot.
Also, I always feel like maybe it's because your name is first, but a lot of people think it's just your page. Like,
really?
Well, I mean, someone said your wife is hot.
That's true. Yeah.
They didn't say.
A lot of people say Jason and Laura. Actually,
I get so much Laura.
Big pet peeve there. Laura. Can you imagine if your name was Laura? That'd be insane.
It would be wild. Okay. I'm trying to read a question that's not about our appearance. I brought it back to your smile, and then you call me hot, which is nice, I guess. All right, I think we have time for one more. So let's go with this one. This is from our favorite Instagram dog, whose owner is actually on Rise. But the question is, if one leg is stronger than the other, should you do more unilateral volume on the weaker leg until it's even?
Okay, so first things first, the notion of being perfectly balanced and symmetrical is a bit overblown, and we are actually all by design asymmetrical. And I remember taking a course called Postural Restoration, and it's funny because you would think that it would be all about like perfectly balanced, but they talk about how we are balanced by being naturally imbalanced. And they were talking about how our organs, like We have a liver on one side, but not the other. One of our lungs is bigger than the other side. Our heart, like one side has more valves than the other. Like there's all sorts of ways in which we are balanced by being imbalanced, which I thought was really interesting. And they said that, you know, one side, we tend to be a little bit more leaning towards one side of the body than we are the other side of the body, and all sorts of like compensations as a result happen because of it. But it's all very normal. And just because you have an imbalance doesn't mean that you're going to be like facing an injury risk and things like that. So a big thing is, I think a lot of people feel like they have a small strength discrepancy from side to side and they feel like they need to fix it and things like that. But you are naturally going to have a strong side and a stronger side. And so what we tend to do is whatever side tends to be a little bit not as strong, we start with that side and then we try to match reps and match the weight on the other side. That's basically what we tend to do for most people. But if you do have, let's say, a significant strength discrepancy, and we actually haven't really seen it to the point where we would actually incorporate more volume, but
the only time would be like someone, I'm thinking of someone in particular who was in an accident, like having like to nerve like stuff. Or like trying to rebuild a side that has been injured, things like that, where there has been like significant atrophy of that muscle, like then there may be a reason to try to build that back up. But if you're just like generally feel like your right arm is a little stronger than your left, or your right leg is a little stronger than your left, that's not as much of a cause for like going out of your way to try to even that out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like, I remember when I was doing a lot of pressing, like overhead pressing with a kettlebell for a very specific kettlebell challenge. And I was getting to the point where my left arm, I was pressing a 44 kilogram kettlebell overhead three times on my left arm, which was my stronger arm. And on my right arm, I could only do a 40 kg like once or twice. So, I mean, that's 9 pounds difference. And I'm doing three times the amount of reps. So that's like pretty big strength discrepancy, like on a surface level, but it's not really affecting me functionally at all. It just makes sense because I'm a lefty. And so it would have to be like 15 or 20 pounds discrepancy for me to really say like, okay, it probably makes sense to add in a set or two for the less strong side to kind of even things out over time. But unless it's like a 20% difference, I feel like just start with the less strong side and match reps with the other side, and eventually they'll start to even out a little bit. But again, you don't even have to worry about it being perfectly symmetrical either.
Yeah, I think that's helpful just to mitigate fears around everything needing to be completely symmetrical, because I think even if, so for some people, I think they think even if they could do like one or two extra reps on one side, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
So really don't need to worry about it that much unless it's very, very significant.
Yeah. And actually another course we took called the functional movement screen, the person was talking about like asymmetries and stuff like that. And like some people, like NFL punters and kickers, like if you try to get them perfectly symmetrical, they suddenly are no longer as good at their job because they develop this asymmetry, and it is advantageous for what they're trying to do as well. And I don't know why I threw that in there, but just to say that asymmetry imbalance isn't just inherently bad.
Always bad. Yeah. Especially if you're an NFL kicker.
Yes. Yeah. So all you NFL kickers out there, don't worry about it. But you didn't mention the handle of our favorite Instagram dog, which is at Coconut Rice Bear.
Coconut Rice Bear. Yeah, well, I didn't know if they were like, technically anonymous, but I think Coconut Rice Bear is out there and proud and wouldn't mind being
super cute.
so cute. And their owner is very, very nice as well. Okay. I think that's going to be all we have time for, because this has been a pretty long episode.
That Quancer segment was all over the place, but it was great.
It was great. Yeah. It was a mix of serious, sad, happy,
funny,
weird,
delicious foods.
It was all over the place, but hopefully in a good way, hopefully in an entertaining and educational way. And all we can ever really hope for is that people leave this podcast feeling a little bit better about themselves, feeling a little bit more empowered to go do the things that make them feel healthy and fit and proud of themselves. And that's really all we're hoping to do.
And if that sounds like you, please leave a rating and review.
Oh my gosh, I have an update.
Streaming platforms. Yes.
I have a major update.
Okay, I'm trying to like pitch the
Oh, but it's pitch related. It's related. Okay. Okay. Sorry. Yes. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I interrupted. Leave a rating and review in...
this is so not exciting.
In regards to ratings and reviews, which is, I just got so excited because you brought it up and I almost forgot. I just found out that you can look at ratings and reviews from other countries on desktop, but not on our phones. Oh. So like we only see the ratings and the reviews from the US, but we have a bunch of them from other countries.
Ridiculous.
I know. Why? And Canadians are really nice in their reviews, but their ratings were slightly lower. We were at like a 4.8 or something.
Whoa.
I know. So wow. Our Canadian, I was so sad because I feel like we just connect with our Canadian siblings up north. but overall, the reviews were still very, very nice.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I couldn't go through. Unfortunately, you can't do like a see all. So you have to click on every single country to see if there are reviews.
Oh my
goodness. And that felt very self-indulgent. And I was like, I can't go through. I can't spend this much time. So I picked like Canada, Australia, Singapore, some of the ones where I know that we have people who like engage with us.
Yeah.
And there was some really good ones. It was really cool.
Why are they censored? That's so weird.
I don't know. It's so weird. I mean, so they must see in their countries, they must see the Canadian reviews or the Australian reviews.
Yeah.
So Canada, step up your 5-star game for us. Come on.
I bet there were a few Canadians that started off a little bit low and then like the other Canadians like followed suit. They're like, oh, well, now I can just give a 5. Like that just seems like it's like suspicious behavior. Seems like a false review.
I don't know. We'll see. There were some very nice Canadian reviews. But anyway, also the other update was last time we talked about reviews, we were hoping to get over 300 ratings on iTunes and we have surpassed it.
Woo!
We were also hoping to get over 500 on Spotify.
Drum roll, please.
And we're at 440, so we're close.
Wow.
We're close.
440 is good.
But it's really good. So just thank you to everyone all around the world for leaving ratings and reviews. It really does make a big, big difference for us. And we're so appreciative. We read every single one of them, and they bring a smile to our faces, and they help us to get this podcast out to more people.
Yeah.
So keep it going. Let's get to 500 on Spotify. Let's get to 500 on Apple Podcasts,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, let's do it. We are, once we have our new hires, once we have released the mobility program, we have a little bit of like an updated interview format coming up for the pod. So you can keep an eye out for that, which we're really excited about. Oh, you know, we'll save it for the next episode. We can talk about our branding for the next episode.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh.
Super excited.
So much happening. Okay.
Yeah.
Little Easter egg branding for next podcast
hashtag
episode.
Branding.
You're so everyone's waiting with bated breath. Okay.
Waited with bated breath.
I was hoping you wouldn't catch that. All right.
Until next time.
Sweat out.
Happiness in.
Woo.